Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Isn't it funny? Our instincts are always the same. Last week, we both thought, I'll launch this thing off. And then this week, just a very unnatural silence to begin the episode. Hello, and welcome along to episode 48 of season 4 of The Worst Idea of All Time. A critical review of the 2008 film Sex and the City, the movie. I am Guy Montgomery, broadcasting live from New York. Joined as ever by Tim Batt, a man who has not yet spoken and, if I continue to run my sentences together, will remain respectfully silent for as long as I've got something to say. And I do have something to say, which is welcome, Tim.
Hi, it's so good to be here. It's so good to hear your voice, Guy. A sentence I've said for the second time this morning, because the first time I said it on the word you hung up on me.
Yep. I am not here to exchange pleasantries. I'm here to get down to business. I've had a formal watch of the movie, I would say. A real throwback. Forced engagement, both by myself and by an arbitrary yet seemingly important task I assigned myself on the previous episode. But I would say of the previous 47 watches, it's definitely top five, possibly the most engaged screening I've had of Sex and the City.
Jesus. Hey, can I make a brief suggestion? Because I would like for us to just stay in what you've done for this entire episode. So before we do, can we just get my watch very briefly out of the way?
Was it done in VR?
No, and here's why. I've ordered the VR headset, and I've been tracking it on the courier, but unfortunately it did not get to me in time. So here's what's going to happen. I'm thinking, I'll wear the VR headset, and there's actually a bathtub at my house. So I thought if I get that tepid temperature, you know, just right, it could sort of act like a sensory deprivation chamber. So I can just be in there with Carrie and the gals and no one else. And the only sensory information I will have is my 48th watch of Sex and the City, the movie.
Oh, man. That is so grim. Because I think these sensory deprivation tanks, I feel like the water temperature is monitored and maintained. But if you're going to draw yourself a tepid bath, this is a long movie. 2.5 hours is long enough for the water to become cold and for Tim to become sick.
Yeah, thought did occur to me.
And it's important, I think, you know, in the interests of making you as physically ill as possible, that you don't adjust the temperature. Once you're in the bath, you're in the bath. You know bath rules.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. You can't change the water. The whole family's got to share the water.
All right, well, here's what's going to happen then. I'm going to make a too hot bath, and I'm quite sensitive to temperature, so that's not going to go well. And then I'm just going to be burning for a bit, and then probably by the last 45, I'll be very cold.
Do you know,
and it's winter right now.
That's a really nice feeling, is when you've drawn yourself a bath, and the water's too hot, and you put your toe in or you put your fingers in to test, and you have to pull them out, and you go, it's too hot. Yeah. And that moment's itself is not physically pleasant, but what is pleasant is the knowledge that not long after that, you're going to be having a lovely bath. You know, like it's sitting there knowing that something great is about to happen, knowing you're about to eat, you know, in 2 minutes.
Do you rock a bath, huh, on a regular?
No, very rarely do I have a bath. But I've got fond memories of it. I remember that your body feels like it's radiating heat immediately afterwards. I think, no, actually, there's no need to wander down that path. So
go on. We'll refrain. You little tease. Go on.
When I was much younger, I think I shit myself in a bath, and that is...
I see.
that is, yeah, it's not a scene for anyone, really.
Guy,
it's...
can I tell you something? Maybe this is to do with the fact that I've only just gotten out of bed. I don't know, maybe I'm vulnerable. I love you, man.
You are vulnerable. I love you too, but you have shown weakness.
My eyes are stinging from the movie. They're physically stinging.
Did you watch it all this morning?
I watched exactly 50% of it last night after I did a late night comedy show. So I was on and then, yeah, started watching.
I find nothing complements the adrenaline hit of immediately finishing a live comedy performance like schlepping home. Too. To settle down with the gals. No one can really relate to the experience of live performance quite like Miranda, Carrie, Samantha, and Charlotte.
Yeah, it was not good. But that was kind of fine, because that's all right to do that to, you know, let the adrenaline subside and you're sort of doing something while that happens. But to set your alarm after a late night gig and forcing yourself to stay up till 1:30 watching a movie, and then setting your alarm for a crisp 7:15 a.m. start because that's the minute you need to start watching again. Oh, so yeah. Good. Anyway, enough about me.
No. That's the never ending. You know, that's a philosophical question that will plague, you know, us for all of time. Is, you know, whether or not it's better or worse to do a one hitter, because you know that night and morning breakup you've got there, that is, you're ruining the end of a day and the start of another. Whereas, you know, if you distribute it differently, you're just ruining one day or even part of a day.
I'm all right with it. I don't mind the split. The only thing I don't like about the split is the disrespect of it. You know, the disrespect to the project which we are engaged with. That I don't appreciate.
Listen to you peddling your bloody PR spiel, towing the company line.
Mm. I'm a brown noser. What can I say? I'm trying to make nicey nice with the boss.
Who's the boss?
The boss is our sole libertarian listener. That is the person signing our checks.
Can I ask you a professional question?
Always.
Who's the boss between us?
The boss? Well,
be honest.
I'd have to say me, and I don't like that. Would you agree with that?
It's felt like you've been the boss for probably the majority of the time I've been doing this. It's felt like you're the boss, but then this season I feel like sometimes I've felt a little bit like the boss.
Good. I don't actually the boss is kind of the wrong title. I'm like the office administrator.
No. There's only one job title between us, and it is the boss. And would you like to be the boss this episode, or would you like someone else to be the boss?
I definitely want someone else to be the boss. I do not want to be the boss in this project.
Well, punch your time card in, because I will be your boss.
Oh, thank you.
And my first... oh, sorry. Everyone in my house is getting really sick because none of us got the flu vaccine because we don't believe in vaccines. And that's why I'm coughing.
Isn't it summer?
Not in this office, not in this building. All I'm trying to tell you is this. As your boss, I want you to describe to me your viewing experience, the emotional high and the emotional low.
Well, is emotional high a synonym for shining light? Because it was for me, like it was my favorite bit. you know, makes sense.
It was the best you felt.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it was coming off the back of doing a live stand-up comedy show, but for some reason, Carrie Bradshaw's joke against Big when they're in bed together at the start of the movie, and she's reading a book of love letters from historic men, and Big asks, oh, am I in there? And she says, no, but some of your classmates are, Napoleon, Voltaire. I thought that was funny. It was good. It was a good joke. She sassed him.
She stole it well. Yeah, I respect that. Whoever wrote it, Mattress Pikelet, you know, he was bound to think it would hit. You know, it's not gonna work every time, but occasionally it's gonna hit home. And happy to hear it pulled. It did its job. It pulled
low
it
light.
Yeah.
I mean, when I do remember viscerally, because this was only an hour and a half ago or something like that, Steve getting out of the car to meet Miranda at the engagement party, and my eyes just stinging from being awake looking at a screen that early as he exits the car. And I was just thinking, this is no way to live, is it? This is no life for Tim.
Did you feel some sort of kindred connection to Steve and how downcast he was looking?
Nah, fuck him. Fuck all of them. But I will say this. I did sympathize with Steve this week a lot more than I have before, which was interesting.
What inspired that, do you think?
It's just the fact that when Miranda goes, let's get it over with, when they're having sex, for some reason that really fucked me off this watch. I put myself in his shoes. I was like, you know, you're in a marriage with a successful, powerful woman, and she's very busy all the time. She's working around the clock. You're looking after a kid. You got a small business of your own, and you're not doing enough fucking. And then you do get to fucking, and then she's like, hey, you know, TikTok, mate, let's get this done. I was like, man, I'd be so pissed about this if this was me.
It's good to know that you were that in the movie at one point. It's like, yeah, you man, know, it wasn't an emotional high point, but it's nice to know that you felt the experience that one of the characters in the movie was feeling, because I honestly could not tell you the last time I I experienced that sensation.
True.
And that's what we go to the cinema for, is it not?
It is. It's why we see movies once, maybe twice, but not thrice, and certainly not 47 times.
47 eyes. So, as you know, I have gone to the trouble of writing down everything Carrie says in VO during this movie. And
it's voiceover for the uninitiated.
Yeah. Still not 100% clear. You know, within the world of the film, like as an outside observer, as someone watching the movie, the voiceover is obviously, it's to help drive the story forward, and it's just, you know, some flavor, some connective tissue. It's a continuation of a device used in the TV show. I understand that, but even after transcribing it all within the movie, I still don't quite know what these little asides and quips and commentaries amount to, where
right.
they're meant to go,
uh-huh.
How she has access to all of this information. And
how do you want to approach this, guy? Are we going to go through one by one, or you just want to do some commentary on the pile?
I've sort of grouped them into segments.
Great.
So the first one is, I'll go through the first one and then we can assess how we're feeling about it. So the first one is what I've described as the opening overview. So these are all the things that Carrie says over the opening montage as we are establishing the world of the movie. It opens year after year, 20-something woman come to New York City in search of the two L's. Can you finish the sentence, Tim?
Labels and love.
My man.
Let me have a run at it.
No, you already fucked it.
Oh, shit.
So 20-something woman. I mean, if it's a book that she's writing or if it's a sentence, that's the first thing that stands out to me, because the way it's written, if you write it down, it reads as 20-something woman. So year after year, between 20 and 29 women moved to New York City looking for labels and love, which seems low.
Absolutely. We've talked about this recently.
Even if it's just a subset of the number of women who move here, you know, you'd think. Anyway, so labels and love. 20 years ago, I was one of them.
Oh.
Having gotten the knack for labels early, I concentrated on my search for love. Turns out, a knockoff is not as easy to spot when it comes to love.
Mark, you're married, you asshole! I hate you!
That's
until it is.
It's the character.
Yeah, you did a great job there. That is why you need help to spot this. Lots of help. Help, also known as Charlotte York, ding, Miranda Hobbs, ding, and Samantha Jones, ding. My name is Carrie Bradshaw. Ding. That's good storytelling. Hey, bing, bang, bong, bing. These are our four. The core four. For sure, really. How are you feeling about the movie at this point? Like, is my reading this prompting any visual imagery for you? Is it prompting any emotions for you?
It's very weird because we're contracting all the things that are in between, right? Like, when you're saying the characters' names, that's the bit where they do the montage from the TV show, right? Of them delivering lines to explain their current situation?
That's later. So this is them walking down the road, and they all sort their name is called, they magically appear. She says, my name is Carrie Bradshaw, and I'm a writer. Year after year, my single girlfriends were my salvation. And as it turns out, my meal ticket.
Can I pause you there? So if we are, because I think the predominant idea is that we're led to believe this is either in the column or in a book that she's writing. And to write, I'm a writer, in either of those styles of publication seems pretty fucking redundant. So, do we discount that idea, and now we're just dealing with a movie that for some reason broadcasts occasional thoughts of the protagonist?
Perhaps. So there's some sort of just almost voice of God.
Yeah.
First person voice of God of a character who's describing. Is it with the power of hindsight? Because all of it's written in
True.
It's all sort of written in the present day or spoken in the present day. Oh.
There is a tense problem with this, isn't there? It should be it should be in the past tense, but it's not written like that, which I get because you want to have the active voice to make it a bit more engaging. But it would make a lot of sense if it was like in the style of a children's, you know, they do that with kids' movies based on a storybook, like a Brothers Grimm tale. It's like, once upon a time, there was a princess.
Yeah.
Do it like that. Once upon a time, there were four ladies in New York City, thirsty for adventures, and some of us, some peen.
Yeah, they love peen. This is the thing. I think this question, unless we sort of take control and make a decision of what the narrative represents, you know, for ourselves, I could read this entire transcript of voiceover to you and we wouldn't have a clearer answer.
Well, boss, this is up to you. This is why you get the big checks.
I want to see a little bit more assumption of responsibility from you, actually, Mr. Bat.
Okay. Fair enough. In that case, wait, do we just have to make the call now?
No, you asking that question has made the call. We'll decide later.
Okay.
So now we start describing the lives of the characters. And this is all really, I mean, the function of it cinematically is purely just to get everyone in the cinema up to speed with who these people are.
Excuse me, boyfriend of person who bought a ticket to this? Listen to this so you know what's about to happen.
That's right. Charlotte was looking for the perfect love. Well, almost perfect. This is cut up with moments from the movie. So this is her failed marriage to the Trey, who is impotent, I believe. So Charlotte and Harry journeyed to China and back for their daughter Lily. So we've got her whole story. Miranda was a disciple of tough love. And then she falls in love with Steve and has Brady. And she says, I am Miranda, journey to Brooklyn for Brady and Steve.
So two uses love. Of journeyed is a verb. It's a weird verb. It's not in common usage. And Mattress Parklet King is being two of them together. It's poor writing. Get a thesaurus.
That's a good air, because he does this all the time. Samantha's love was sex. Lots of sex. Now, she's used sex twice there. And then she found a man that combined sex and love. So, Samantha journeyed to Hollywood with television star Smith Jared. The fact that he's used it three times almost makes it seem like it's on purpose, but I refuse to believe that, because there's no actual value in repeating the word journey. Like, what? Is this telling us we're about to go on a journey?
Oh, I thought you meant the word sex three times. Yeah, nah, there's no point to using the word journey more than once. It's weird, unless you were talking about the band, which would be cool. Maybe it was a bet. Someone's like, I bet you can't put the word journey three times in the first 5 minutes of the film.
I'm sorry, I got a call in the middle of our conversation, but
it was confusing.
Yeah, what happened to you? Did it go on call hold or what?
I don't know, it just went quiet for a bit. Onwards, guy, let's journey forward.
Yeah, it's nice to know how phones work. As for me, I was looking for something big. Mr. Big. Turns out when that big love comes along, it's not always easy. And despite all the other chapters of my life, no one was ever quite big enough. Until, and just like that, I was. 3 books and 3 years later, we still feel like those 4 single girls. And even though time has moved us on, I managed to stay exactly where I was. In love. So, I mean, this last one to me is the funniest. If you think about it as a book, if you think of Carrie writing her book, and in between, you know, describing the outcome of something, she just remembers to herself the events that led to it. And then she goes, ah, that was great. And then continues, because that is the narrative device she has used.
That is such a simpleton thing to do, isn't it? Just like remember some good times that are still sort of going quietly to yourself.
And then forget that you haven't written them down. I mean, for a professional author, this is borderline unforgivable stuff.
Do you know what, though? And this may be immature, but I feel like the name of the franchise is Sex and the City. We're already geared to be thinking about it. And for Mattress Parklet King to dangle these lines in front of us, tantalizingly, such as, no one was ever quite big enough. I mean, are we talking about dick size, or are we not talking about dick size? Let's be real here. Has Carrie been auditioning dicks?
If you read it as a book, we're talking dicks. But if you watch it as a movie, we're talking a character. And I suppose that the very ambiguity you've articulated there, Tim, is possibly what made the character name so fun to begin with.
Yeah, I guess so.
So that's the first chunk of voiceover. And, you know, it's pretty clearly just a storytelling device, I think. You know, that we all because, you know, we are vaguely familiar with the series at this point. We don't think to be like, what is this voiceover? Where does it fit into the world of the movie? Because it's just what we expect, because it's just a continuation of how the story functioned on the show.
Yes.
I mean, this is where unfamiliarity with the TV show really holds its own, because I'm sure that there have been huge conversations around the use of voiceover in Sex and the City and what it represented. But
I've seen the odd episode, and from memory, because obviously was on the box a long time ago, it was used correctly for exposition. So it's like, well, exposition and sort of like character development, because I think they used it quite well to either drive the story forward into the next bit. It's just a neat little shortcut to be like, and then, you know, the answer to the question walked in the room or fucking whatever. But also it can give you a unique emotional insight into what the characters are feeling. But in the movie, they don't really do either of those things. which we will find out as we go on with these lines. But that's how you're supposed to use this, and from memory, that is how they did use it in the TV show to great effect.
In the movie, it winds up sort of functioning almost like when in a spy movie, say, and there's a shot of a new location, and then it just the words come up in type on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what this is.
Yeah,
interspersed with occasional half-baked sort of, you know, wisecracks or, you know, pieces of purported wisdom, but just
do you know what it is?
Unbearable idiocy. Continue. Yes,
it adds so little to the film that it's almost it's an aid for the visually impaired. Have you ever witnessed those tracks? Have you ever heard them on TV shows and movies? You turn them on, and they talk to you about what's in the scene. So it's like, if you could see, you're seeing this. If you're visually impaired, you're hearing a person describe this scene. That's what Carrie's narration is in Sex and the City.
Absolutely. 1,000 times, yes. So the next one, this is a new segment now, which is just one, it's only one line, which is finding the perfect apartment in New York City. It's like finding the perfect partner. It can take years. So that line can go because we're seeing them looking for an apartment.
Let's put a line through that one, shall we, folks?
Because they say in the corresponding scene, they say, what number is this again? 34. Lucky 30. Like, we get it. You're finding it hard to find a multi-million penthouse apartment that is exactly to your specifications. I don't understand. If they have the money to just buy outright and immediately this top-level penthouse in this building, why have they spent 34 other instances fucking around looking at these absolute dives?
Absolutely. Not believable.
Just, it's also inefficient. If it is true...
You have access to an entire tier of real estate that 99.9% of the population would never even see.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So get out of these what are meant, you know, they're what are meant to be their scungy apartments. And I actually found my shining light in this moment.
It's disgusting.
Well, it's after they've been looking around the first apartment, the realtor, after nailing his delivery on, she goes, it's more, and their letting agent or whoever goes, how much more? And he goes, more. And every week he smashes the shit out of that line. He's not giving him a lot to work with, but he really makes it his own. And then he's got this sort of very, it cuts off of him to, his finger pushing the PH, penthouse button, in the lift, which, by the way, I've brought up before, and I'm just going to say it again, is totally incongruous with Big having asked the elevator to go down when we saw them in the hallway moments before.
What?
I mean,
You've never mentioned that.
No, I have, because I remember complaining that we should have seen everyone in the lift going down to the ground floor.
Oh, true.
And then all the way back up to the penthouse. But you said sometimes movies, you know, decide to edit out scenes that they don't think are necessary.
I'm so sorry I blocked. I honestly don't think I understood what you were saying at the time. Guy, that's fucking funny, man. That's a great observation from you.
I agree. Anyway, so we'll just overlook this glaring fucking edit or error, sorry. And then so you see him push the button and then we cut back to the doors closing and the realtor nods to himself. And it's impossible to discern whether or not this is the actor nodding to himself after smashing his line of saying more before.
Yeah.
Or if this is the realtor nodding to himself like that is the perfect amount of vagueness. This is a very intriguing offer I've made. I'm really on the fucking, you know, I'm on the precipice of a big sale here. But the pride and smugness that is pasted on this guy's face was something I hadn't seen before and something I was really happy to come across.
That was your shining light, and I think a fair one.
Yeah, yeah, I think, thank you for approving.
He's fucking good, that guy. I enjoy him. I like him. I like him so much. I have projected that he is in a different scene, which he's not later when Carrie's in the Vogue office.
That's true. Is that desire or just familiarity when you think you see him again?
Desire, baby.
Pure desire. So then we go to the big auction, is what I've written. And Carrie says it was a rare occasion that brought all types of New York women together. And it doesn't. We see an image of a bunch of rich white women. Blair Elgin was a waitress turned model turned actress turned billionaire's girlfriend who came home one night to find herself unceremoniously turned out on the street. And now she was getting the ultimate breakup revenge. An embarrassing and very public auction of all the jewelry he had given her when they were happy. Honestly, not a bad bit of voiceover. Functions in articulating what is happening in front of us and also could make sense in a book.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. We'll allow it because it's quite a strange... It's the fucking spy movie thing. You're right. This is... what's that? What's the last James Bond movie called with Daniel Craig? Maybe it's the one before that.
I think it was called Die Another Day. The last Daniel Craig one?
No.
Definitely
no.
Die Another Day.
No.
And Daniel Craig was played by Pierce Brosnan.
Wait, what the fuck? No. Nah, man. That's not how it works. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a very functional line, and it's good, because we're in a foreign environment. It is quite hard to make heads or tails of what's going on. Green light. Green light on that one.
Yeah. I don't think, if we do go line by line, I don't think we'll get through all of this today, but I'm going to keep going for now. Because turns out...
let's commit. Let's just make a really long episode of the podcast, Guy. I got nowhere to fucking be. It's Saturday morning. I got my cup of coffee here and my pay the boys mug.
I respect that. I'm glad that you have nowhere to be. I'll continue. Post-engagement. So that's the next subheading. Post-engagement. So this is after her and Big have become engaged, very functionally become engaged. She says, and the big news was about to go bi-coastal. Cut it, don't need it. As a wedding gift, this is under the same subheading, but further along.
Sorry, just quickly, let me do narration to that narration. That is when Samantha Jones, who's on the West Coast, finds out because Carrie gives her a ring to tell her. That's what's about to happen.
You got it. And the big news was about to go bi-coastal. So later on, as a wedding gift, Charlotte had given me Anthony Scaramucci, friend and wedding planner.
No. Marantino. Yep. Anthony Marantino.
The Mooch.
Brother or cousin?
The guy.
Oh, it's him. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I really enjoy that line because it's interesting to see modern politics colliding with an older film. And it's just fun to think, you know, how long people's lives are and how many different roles they fill within them.
True that. Okay.
You don't want to push back on that any harder?
No, because you've told me we're not going to get through all of them. I'm trying to keep the pace.
Okay. So then flash forward again. That line also can be totally cut. We can see it's Anthony Scaramucci. We can see that he's a wedding planner. It's not necessary. It seemed everywhere I went, people had seen page six, even people you didn't
hey
expect.
Hey, guy, do you know what's funny about that? Is I can't remember who it was, but I'm pretty sure there is, or there was, a Trump cabinet official who got the job after being the wedding planner for, like, Jared and, what's her name? Ivanka's wedding. And they, gave the wedding planner a real big job in the government.
I did not know that.
So this is neat.
Yeah, well, I hope that, well, now they will. I hope that our sole libertarian listener can put all those pieces together. But conveniently, indeed, Tim has seen you struggling with a jigsaw puzzle, picked up a piece and put it in place and said, there, you fucking dolt, can't you see? It's simple.
Here's why.
It seemed everywhere I went, people had seen page six, even people you didn't expect, like my Vogue editor, Enid. Just absolute hot tripe. There is no reason that your Vogue editor, the editor of Vogue, would not be keeping up to speed with the comings and goings of page six, like the sort of, you know, salacious entertainment section of the newspaper with all the comings and goings of high society people. You're out of your fucking... Like, it's a humble brag. They've written a humble brag for Carrie there. Mm. You would expect your edit... I'll tell you who you wouldn't expect to know that is the random fucking guy walking into the lift going, hey, Carrie... She doesn't even know him to say, oh, hey, Greg, nice to see you. That's who you wouldn't expect. Someone close to you, of course they know. Someone close to you whose job, in addition, is also keeping up to speed with that sort of information, you would expect that every day of the week.
Guy, do you know it would be fun if there was a janitor who knew?
Well, maybe there is, Tim. Who's to say?
But I'm saying that's a fun... Put that in the movie. Don't make it Enid, the fucking Vogue editor. Of course she's keeping tabs on everything. The goddamn janitor in the building who sees Carrie and is like, hey, Carrie, congrats. That would be unexpected and cool.
You've opened my eyes here, Tim, because anything that is expressly not shown in the movie, for example, a janitor saying, hey, Carrie, where are you going, could still exist within the world of the movie. And so... The problem with the way we've been watching this is I don't think we have to accept total responsibility, but more than we have been, the limits of this movie are the limits of our imagination. Why have neither of us seen a janitor before or even the opportunity for a janitor before? You know, someone's got to mop those hallways.
Yeah, dude. They don't clean themselves yet. I'm looking at you, Zuckerberg.
Who's playing the janitor in your mind's eye? Same dude, Pierce Brosnan.
No, what's this fucking... Oh, that's good, though. I was going to say Nathan Lane. I think Matthew Broderick brought him to set one day because they're pals. And fuck, how good would it be to see Nathan Lane as a janitor in this movie? God damn it, well, I would love that.
What, as the co...
In Vogue.
It's him and Pierce Brosnan. They own the business together.
I love it. I'm seeing them in overalls. There's quite a height differential because I think Pierce Brosnan's not massively tall, but he must be about 6'0 to play Bond, I would think. And Nathan Lane, he's quite short, I think. So that'd be a fun pairing. They should be the Super Mario Brothers. They should reboot it. And Nathan Lane should be Mario. And Pierce Brosnan should be Luigi.
You are getting a real kick out of that. Why did you cast them in
so
that order?
I'm so tired. Hey?
Why did you cast them in that order? Why should Nathan Lane...
Mario's short. Mario is short and Luigi is tall.
Sometimes it's just as simple as that, folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now we're up to...
That'd be a good movie.
Now we're up to the... What can be. It can be in our movie. We're up to wedding preparations. So Carrie's saying, just a typical Wednesday, hang out with old friends like Stanford Blatch and new friends like Vera Wang. And then I timed it out. There is a 4-minute pause between all of these designers that she lists.
Oh, fucking hell.
So this...
Four minutes, guy.
Yeah, this scene actually goes for 25 minutes.
uh,
And new friends, like Vera Wang. So I'm going to do all the pauses. Three more minutes.
Where are we up to?
1.5 minutes to go.
This is unthinkable.
And Carolina Brown.
No. Come on, mate. That's the worst thing we've ever done. Oh, God.
And so forth and so on. And
that
finally,
was the worst thing we've ever done on this podcast.
I felt, honestly, I felt supported. I had a great time.
Good. Folks, Guy sent me in the middle of that silence a picture of him, which I can only describe as the definition of smug. Just sent me the photo in the middle of that narration silence.
da-da-da. And finally, Vivienne Westwood, a dress so special it could bring a wedding tear to even the most
da-da-da. You committed to 4 minutes of real-time silence from the film and you're giving me da-da-da. Fuck you, man. That's crazy.
Okay, so there are, including Vera Wang and Carolina Brown and Vivienne Westwood.
Yes.
There are 7 labels listed. I will give you $5 for every, apart from those 3, so there are 4 unnamed labels. No. I'll give you $5 for every label you can name.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. Fuck. I really should know this. Oscar De La Renta? Is that how you say it?
Yes, nailed it. $5.
Fucking... that's probably me.
Dior?
Shit!
Something called my gown? I never know how to say it.
Oh.
So that one's
rings
like...
No bells.
It's something like that. And Christian Lacroix.
Yeah, fuck, I should have got that. Christian Lacroix. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
And then the impossible happened, and just like that, Vivienne Westwood kicked my sweet little suit's ass.
That line I'm fine with. We're getting a bit of insight into what's happening moving forward, you know?
Yeah. So this next line is, we've spoken about at length before.
With my mind prenuptially preoccupied, I became delinquent on my library books, and suddenly
keep going.
I'm trying. The tragic love stories of Wuthering Heights and Love Story were going to cost me more than just a few tears.
Pretty fucking good, man.
Grade?
B plus?
A minus?
If you hadn't stumbled, I'd be inclined to give you an A minus. Few keywords, though. Probably B. With my mind prenuptially preoccupied, I became delinquent with my library books. So now the tragic love stories of Wuthering Heights and Love Story were going to cost me more than a few tears. Actually, no, I will give you an A minus.
I fucking nailed that. It was the hesitation that'll knock me down from an A plus.
Yeah, I would say word-wise, you got 90% of the words right. So
I think I got all of them right.
No,
we won't dwell on this. All right.
So then she discovers the library was perfect. Big and I would be married in the classic New York landmark that housed all the great love stories. No question of organization or cost. It's just what we're going to do. Don't worry about it. Could be communicated just by Carrie looking at people getting ready for the wedding. Not necessary. And to think that you would insert the line prior to that, which is like the worst piece of writing in the movie, that is glittering with bad writing, is heartbreaking. The next line, I have the subheading pure smut. Can you guess?
Go on.
Can you guess what the next line of voiceover is from the clue? Pure smut.
Well, I'm guessing it comes after the cafe conversation. We're talking about how much sex everyone has. Carrie has explicitly said to the gals, but I will say this, when Big colours, he rarely colours inside the lines. And then we go to the apartment where he is on the balcony. Now, what is the line of narration? Carrie says... It's something about him not... Oh, totally outside the lines.
Correct, my
yeah,
man.
Yeah, the people's champ, Timbo. Woo!
Disgusting. If you
absolutely
take that as a
revolting
piece of standalone narration,
I
mean, I guess it's not dripping with the fucking filth that you and I know it is to a reader, but just...
Yeah.
To honestly type the words out and look at them now, it makes me feel sick. I see them dripping with cum. It makes me feel wretched.
Not just any cum, Chris Knott's cum.
Just excuse it.
Why is he Italian? Do you reckon he could be King Koopa in this Mario Brothers reboot?
Look, there's so much more. It continues. I've got an end point in my mind that I will get to, and then we'll pause it.
Rightio.
So after that, I've got the subheading Samantha and the Sexy Neighbor, and that is how Samantha learned she had a new neighbor. So that's when we see Dante fucking, and then from then on, night after night, while Smith got his beauty sleep, Samantha found something more interesting to watch than TiVo, which is to guess that voyeuristically watching live sex is more entertaining than the greatest minds in television who, you know, work tirelessly to put together compelling narratives that feature the right amount of heart, warmth, drama, levity, action. And think that you could just watch your neighbor, you could illegally just watch your neighbor fuck. Yeah. And that's a cosign from Carrie. So the next subheading I've got is the interminable apartment montage. While Samantha put on the best of the 80s, I put on the worst. Fashion show, fashion show, fashion show, fashion show. It took four friends 3 days to put 20 years into 38 boxes. I quite like that writing.
Yeah.
Four different numbers in a pretty short sentence. The next subheading I have is disgusting lovemaking scene. Can you guess that line, Tim?
Charlotte made love to Harry four times that week.
Fuck, my man, that really, really puts a smile on my face. Nailed it.
Ah, yes. And then I'm so happy, and I'm so happy that you're proud of me too, because I'm proud of myself.
I'm in there. The boss. And then the rehearsal dinner, which, as it turns out, this is the last voiceover line for a very long time and tells us a lot about the state of mind that Mattress Pikelet King needs Carrie to be in to use her as a narrative device, or that possibly Carrie needs to be in to write. But the rehearsal dinner, she says, and soon it was the night before the big day. And I'd actually like to challenge you now, Tim. So under that, in big, bold italics, I've written, when Carrie is downhearted and dejected, she cannot do voiceovers anymore. And I actually quite like that. That's what I've got written there. Can you tell me the next time that Carrie wades into the story and describes what's happening?
They're in Mexico. Am I right in that bit?
I'm not going to give you any clues along the way. You tell me once you're ready.
You said yes. I think you already said yes to that. I reckon it's a big old gap till they're in Mexico. And I even think it might be when Charlotte shits herself. And I can't remember how it's worded. Because it's after Miranda tells her that she will laugh again when something is fun. Oh, wait, hold on. There's something before. No, I think that's right. When something is funny enough, she will laugh. I'm going to just take a stab. I think this is wrong, but... And Miranda was right. When something was funny enough, I did laugh.
You're in the right bracket. Okay. I mean, you're under a shared subheading, which is Mexico.
Swinging morale for the fences returns. Here, buddy.
But there's a moment before that. There's two voiceover moments that prompt that reflection.
Oh,
by Carrie.
You're right.
Of course I'm right. And I literally transcribed the movie.
And for a moment, while remembering her loved ones, Charlotte forgot where she was and opened her mouth.
Pretty fucking good. I mean, in terms of energy and vibe, you have articulated the sentence. The actual writing is, after a workout, Charlotte couldn't help but think how truly blessed she was. This week had made her feel more grateful than ever for a happy marriage, and just for a second, while picturing her loved ones at home in New York, she forgot where she was and opened her mouth. It's roughly halfway in the movie. It's roughly halfway in the voiceover. It's a good place to leave this particular task for today.
I am absolutely enamored with your decision making this episode of the podcast, Guy, where you looked in front of you and went, we've got a lot to get through. I better do a real-time 4-minute pause in the middle when we're doing the worst scene in the movie. Good on you. That is true comedy.
I do what I can to help who I can. If you have enjoyed this episode as well, I hope you might. Please, and live in any of the following 4 cities, New York City, Chicago, Portland, or Los Angeles, please come along to our live shows, a tour that by our current speed and math will see us watching the movie comfortably over 52 times.
Yeah, we fucked up.
Yeah, big time. And we will not, you know, the only way we know how to pay for our miscalculation is to continue watching the movie. So on Sunday, June 23rd at Littlefield in New York. On Monday, June 24th at Sleeping Village in Chicago. On Wednesday, June 26th at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. And on Friday, June 28th at the Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles, California. All available at littleempirepodcasts.com. Get involved. It's going to be a fucking boatload of fun already by recommitting to the movie as I have this watch. I feel reinvigorated. I mean, I'm going to have to create tasks to get myself through every screening because honestly, it was the only way I could concentrate on what was happening in front of me. There's real value in it, Tim. And if you want to roll your sleeves up and do your own research on the next screening, I mean, you're going to be in a sensory deprivation tank. Self-built.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate, I've got my work cut out for me. I'm going to be experiencing nothing but the movie next watch. Hopefully the courier has actually come this morning with my VR headset so I can set that all up. It's going to be wild.
It's enough to make me feel sick. Also, quickly, I'd like to say to anyone in New York who is interested beyond my contribution to the worst area of all time, I'm doing a live solo show. The solo show just toured through Australia and New Zealand, called I Was Part of the Problem Before We Were Talking About It, at Union Hall on Wednesday the 19th of June. If you head along to Union Hall's website, our tickets are available there. It's part of the Golden Hours comedy series, which looks great. It's just a bunch of shows.
I saw this show and I could not vouch more for it. It's fucking Guy Montgomery at his best. It's bloody great. I'm very proud of it.
So the show's at 7:30 on Wednesday, June 19th. Please come along. I'd love to see you there. Otherwise, have a great day. I can't wait to walk free from this film, this conversation. It's been a joy, though, Tim.
It's been a true pleasure talking to you, Guy, and an absolute abomination watching the movie for the 47th time. So until next time, which will be very soon, coming to you live from a VR deprivation chamber, this is Timbo signing off.
It's very important you say sensory before deprivation.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.